Have you ever hauled a camper up one of America's most dangerous highways? Well, we did, but I'm not sure I'd recommend it.
You're listening to Travel FOMO, a podcast for people self-diagnosed with wanderlust.
Welcome to the Travel FOMO podcast. I'm Jamin Houghton, and I'm here with my wife, co-pilot slash jump scarer, Hillary.
What does that mean?
I felt like on this particular drive, there were a few jump scares that you provided.
Oh, man. This is some great stories. Some great stories ahead today, guys.
And welcome to the first episode of Season 10 of the Travel FOMO podcast, where we are hitting up a bunch of national parks. We're going all over the place. We'll be in Bryce Canyon, Zion, Arches, Mesa Verde, Rocky Mountain National Park, tons and tons of national parks. But we are starting off with one of the biggies, one of the most iconic national parks anywhere. When you think of national parks, it sort of sets the standard, and that's Yosemite.
That's right. And in this episode, you're going to hear about us hauling the Airstream up the really dangerous California Highway 120. Yep. We had no idea until we were in the process. We also hiked. We really made the most of our time in Yosemite. And along the way, I got to swim in a lake of gold flakes, which is just pretty epic. I didn't see that coming. And we had pirates in our RV park.
That's true. That's true, sadly. If you've listened to the last few seasons, you'll know that we been in the Airstream and are seeing all kinds of really cool places, but Yosemite is one that is a biggie.
Yeah.
And I feel like until you've seen Yosemite, you're just missing out.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1,200 square miles of Northern California. It's in the Sierra Nevada mountain range. Some of the famous mountains you've probably heard of, El Capitan or Half Dome. There's lots of documentaries about those, about climbing those. They're just huge, famous worldwide, really, for climbing. It's a World Heritage Site. It was designated as protected land in 1864 by President Abraham Lincoln. We're talking about going way back.
Yeah, so like, important. Yeah.
And, you know, as far as the land that people recognize, is like, we've got to set this aside and keep it sort of sacred. And President Lincoln started that process, which is really crazy.
Yeah.
Has the tallest waterfall in North America, Upper Yosemite Falls, which is really impressive. In the Mariposa Grove area of the park, where there's a lot of tall sequoia trees, there's a grizzly giant is one of the trees there. They name a lot of the bigger trees, and grizzly giant is one of the oldest sequoias in the world. It's around 2,700 years old.
That's wild.
Which is really cool. We got to see it walk right up to the base of it. If you go check out our YouTube video, there's footage of it there. It's just unreal to see.
Mm-hmm.
And this park is so big, so much to offer. It was just really cool.
Yeah. And we were there in the blazing heat of August. Yes. 2022. And we were coming in from Big Sur and the Pacific Coast Highway, and believe it or not, there really wasn't a lot of travel drama that day. I can't believe it.
Right.
We always had something go wrong.
Yeah.
But we actually like felt like maybe the curse is broken. We don't know. Maybe.
Like escaping.
Yeah. So, but the really crazy part of the day was driving Highway 120. And because we're coming from the west, coming into Yosemite from the west, and we just had no idea that the drive was going to be this extreme.
Right.
And we were kind of blindly driving into a really stressful, nail-biting look over the edge of a bunch of curves.
Right. Well, you know, through the Sierra Nevadas, there's just not a lot of great ways to get in and out of them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, pulling a trailer is hard enough in and of itself. And, you know, I pulled a trailer before when I was younger, but it's always been like pretty wide open highways and pretty flat.
Yeah.
And so like driving in the
Oklahoma,
mountains,
guys.
Right.
It's like, as flat as it gets.
Yeah. And driving in the mountains is something completely different, and not on interstate on these like two-lane highways, and I remember looking at the map of this stretch of highway and just thinking that it looked like a kindergartner had just like scribbled with a crayon, and that's like how the road was.
So like, true.
It was insane. And just, I mean, you're right on the edge, particularly driving in. You're on, like, we were on the side of the mountain where you're on the cliff side, coming around these really tight turns with people coming the other way, so you don't have space anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nail biter for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And there's like all of these places, like we were still taking the best route, because I remember we looked at other places as we kind of got into this and realized, oh my gosh, this is really bad. What should we be doing instead? We realized, you know, there's not really a lot of great options.
Right.
And particularly Sonora's Pass on highway, it's highway 108 north of Yosemite. And it's one of the most dangerous drives that you can make. And it has really narrow, sharp corners, steep grades, some as steep as 26%, which when you're hauling, we always pay attention to those signs.
Yeah.
And what's been the worst that we've even driven?
I think they were like 14 or 15%, something like that.
Oh, geez, that's pretty bad. But towing is definitely not advised on Sonora's Pass. But Sonora, the city, is great. So we'll tell you more about that later.
Right, yeah. We did go up there to get some stuff done.
But, yeah, exactly.
Well, and the whole way there, we had the jump scare artist doing her work in the passenger seat.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, I literally was like, I think I need to just pass out, just kind of black out so that either I die or I make it through, but I don't need to know what happens in between. I can't imagine how stressful this must have been for you. I literally had, like, cotton mouth and couldn't hardly breathe. Like, I was really actually very scared. I was, like, really literally not aware of anything else other than, like, our tires on the road, because there really were so many curves that were just, you were blindly having to like go around the curve, and our airstream is really wide, and everything was really steep and really narrow, and you could never, like, if I was, you know, as my side, the passenger side is what was really like hanging over the edge and stuff.
Yeah.
Or so it felt. And I could never see road beside me. That's how like narrow it was. And there weren't railings along the road. There's just too much road. You can't put railings on that much road. And I just felt really, really helpless. And there was one point where you had to do a turn, and it was so tight, and it was almost like a U-turn is what it felt like, but it was just such a switchback. It was just so intense, and we couldn't see that there was another vehicle coming and stuff, and you were doing a great job, but the truck's wheels of our truck were kind of like losing traction, I guess you could say. And there's just like this split second where we were trying to regain control, and I literally imagined us like going over the side. And I went a little cross-eyed and like kind of shook myself and almost fainted. I'm not even lying. I almost fainted. It was really intense. But I like remember thinking like my brain is gonna break. Like I can't experience this. I'm so traumatized. But on that note, you actually nailed it really well.
I do remember like this one was really stressful. And I remember us talking that night, like after we got to the campground and got set up and everything, I remember us talking that night and being like, do we still want to do this? Like, is this something that we still want to keep doing? Like, this seems like a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a rough road, but that, I don't think we knew at the time, but that was the roughest like point. Road that we would drive.
Right. Yeah.
Like it would all be easier from then on, but we didn't know. And I feel like we didn't know that this one was going to be rough. And so we were like, well, what else is out there like coming for us? And when we did more research, we found out like, oh, this is one of the worst ones in America. There are worse, than this, yeah. But it's one of the worst.
It's one of the worst you can haul an airstream, haul a rig on.
Right.
Some of the other worst roads, like you can't actually tow anything on.
Right, you're not allowed to take trailers on.
Because they're so bad.
On.
Yeah.
Luckily, we didn't have to take it back out. Like we would leave, when we would leave Yosemite, we actually went through the park to head east. And so we didn't have to like retrace our steps back out this road.
That's true.
So
yeah.
It was a one time kind of thing. We did drive it a couple other times. When we went to Sonora, we drove it just in the truck, which is no big deal at all. But I remember we went to Sonora for a day of like, it's funny when you travel, you still have to do life. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, we got a lot of stuff we have to do. We got to get the oil changed and we need to buy groceries. And, you know, we had to like run to Lowe's and pick up stuff at UPS. And,
yeah.
You know, we had to go to Starbucks because we didn't have Wi-Fi and, you know, like upload podcasts and YouTube videos and those kinds of things. And so we went to Sonora to kind of have a day of doing all that. I remember we went to a really cool place too to eat and just hang out. Called the Armory. So if you find yourself in Sonora, California, highly recommended. They have this sort of like outdoor area that was really cool.
Yeah.
They had like local brews and stuff. Like it was,
Misters.
It was great. Yeah.
So it was nice and cool. And
yeah. That was
like,
a nice way to like sort of end that day and just like chill out for a minute.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. It was nice. Well, and we just like so cherished having access to cell phone service.
Right.
And the internet was like always like really, really important. But it was blazing hot in that part of the world, though. Like Yosemite itself was pretty like was cooler. It felt like much better.
Once you got in the park. Yeah.
But outside of the park, the sun was so intense and we stayed outside of the park. We got as close as we could, really, in our RV park. But it was scorching hot where we were actually staying.
Yeah.
And it was interesting.
It was. It was really interesting. That RV park, it was a nice park and it was big. Like they had all kinds of spaces and they had like little cabins and like cool little yurts and little RVs and stuff that you could rent and stay in. They had like a little petting farm, which is kind of weird, and a big pool. But they had some kind of reality show being filmed there.
Yeah.
And they put us right behind the trailers where these people were living.
Yeah.
And I remember because they put somebody right next to us on either side of us. And I remember thinking like, there are tons of open spots. Why are we all packed in right here?
We were so annoyed.
Yeah. And then I realized like, oh, they're wanting their RV park to seem full for the filming of this reality show.
Yeah.
And I don't know what show it was.
They didn't give us a heads up about it.
Right.
Which was not cool on my part because I'm like, if you're going to put, if there's potential that we might have to be on TV or right. our, you know, livelihood, like that would be kind of nice to know.
Well, and I remember like they had two spots right behind ours and they had like put one of their trailers in nose in. And we were staying for 5 nights and I remember backing our trailer in. And so we're essentially backing our trailer up to the nose of this other trailer. And I'm like, if they need to move that trailer at all, they're not going to be able to.
Right. Without they would have us to ask us to move.
Right. Like we would have to move our trailer for them to move this trailer. And fortunately, they didn't ever have to. But I remember thinking in my mind, like, if someone comes to me and asks me to, like, tear down camp and move so that they can move their trailer, I'm just going to tell them no.
Right.
I'm just going to be like, no, we leave on Friday.
Yeah,
so,
you
like,
can do it on Friday.
Yeah, I hope you're chill until then. Because, like, it was just sort of ridiculous. And they had, like, huge pirate flags. Like, they had a big pirate flag and a big, like, banner. And they had all the kinds of people running around, like, 3 or 4 different cameramen.
Yeah.
Remember, they had, like, a couple of sound techs with, like, battery packs and they're miking everybody up. They had producers and, like, it was some, like, middle-aged guy and what I assume was his daughter. She had pink hair and they were like, I don't know what they were filming, but like some kind of bizarreness just going on there. And I remember being like, well, I don't want to hang out outside the trailer in the midst of like all this just weirdness.
I know. Yeah. It's interesting though. But we had so much fun seeing Yosemite for the first time though. Our first day was actually on a Sunday. So it might have been a little bit busier than normal, but I was surprised by all the smokiness of the forest fires that were nearby.
Right, yeah.
I just didn't know. I mean, I knew that California always had some wildfires, but I didn't realize how much it really impacts so much of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't see any of them, but you could smell them and you could notice it in the fog of the haziness of being able to see the beauty in front of you.
Right.
Was really masked by this like filter of a fog. So that was kind of interesting. But we drove into Yosemite Valley, which is one of the most popular areas of the park. And just, wow. Like, everything is so big there. Everything is so striking. The canyon walls are like so dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's really breathtaking. And I just don't think I knew enough about it before we went.
Right.
For me to like,
yeah.
I was just so, which was kind of great because I was just so blown away by it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do kind of like that. I was so, got to be so surprised by how dramatic it was. But I kind of thought it would be a lot of trees and lush green places, but really it was, Yosemite's made out of a lot of rock.
Yeah.
It's mountain.
Yeah, a lot of granite, like a lot of gray granite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of piles of rock, but the most beautiful
mm-hmm.
piles of rock. Like it's crazy. But every time you hike, you're really hiking on giant slabs of rock a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a whole pieces of earth that don't even appear to be like fractured or broken. Just the smooth,
right.
constant piece of rock.
Just a massive rock.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. It's pretty cool though.
When on that first day, like there from Yosemite Valley, we hiked the Mist Trail to see Vernal Falls and Nevada Falls. That was recommended to us actually by Kristen Ware.
Yeah, and our friend Kristen in Tulsa. Yay.
Yeah, so thanks for that recommendation.
Yeah.
It was the first hike that we really did there. The trail was really cool. It's a very popular trail. So, full of people,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people,
yeah.
Surprisingly hard, a lot of uphill, it's paved a lot of the way, like
mm-hmm.
a portion of it and up to the falls anyway, and which is nice, but like tons of people.
Still hard though. I could not believe a paved trail could be that exhausting.
Yeah, I agree. Like it was a lot of work. And it was like pretty hot that day, but you're in kind of shade most of the time,
mm-hmm.
which is nice. And then the falls were just amazing.
Yeah.
I think at the end, when we looked back on all the hiking that we did in the park, we were like, if you only got to do one, you should do this one.
Mm-hmm.
The falls were just incredible. Huge falls. When you see pictures of it and video, you can go out and check out our YouTube video and that you just have a really hard time seeing like the scale of it. But I know in our YouTube video, we actually captured some people like jumping into the pool at the base of the falls.
Yeah.
And when you see that and you see like the size of the pool at the base of the falls, it gives you a little bit of context for just how massive these falls are.
Yeah.
And they just create this huge sound, and you know, the light shines through and refracts, so you see sort of like rainbows everywhere, and just the mist that is created from the wind and them hitting the water hitting the rocks is just incredible. It was really, really cool. Definitely recommend like hiking the Vernal Falls, Nevada Falls. Like, so the Mist Trail
mm-hmm.
is one that you got to see. It's just really cool.
Yeah. You mentioned that moment of like these guys jumping into the water, and that really sticks with me. And I literally can see that moment that you have filmed in the video. And I don't know, like it just really stuck with me getting to see people just really let loose and have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it was really dangerous, but I wanted to do it so bad. I was like, oh my God, gosh, like that looks so fun. I wish I was like in my swimsuit or something and I could just like jump in that little lake at the bottom, which, you know, like it had to be so loud down there. These falls are so massive.
Yeah.
That like it had to be so, so loud down there that they could hardly talk to each other while they're, you know, climbing up on these rocks and jumping down into the water and everything. But, you know, I was reminded of whenever we were on the Amalfi Coast and I dove in and did a really floppy bad dive and hurt my back. And I was like, yeah, it's definitely not happening. But that was such a great hike.
It is such a cool hike. And you actually, the trail takes you up above the falls. And there's an area up there where there's just pools of water and everybody sort of just gets to hang out next to like this really great water. And like you said, it's mostly rock. A lot of the park is. And so there's just these pools just sort of like created into this rock and you get to sit there. And I remember we sat and had lunch and there's just kind of people all around hanging out. And before you continue on down the trail, there's just a ton of little spots like that.
Yeah. Well, and I remember it's a loop trail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to go down a different way, and going down was actually really cool too.
Yeah. A lot of great views.
Incredible views. And you go down all of these stairs, these natural rock stairs, and you are way up there on the side of the cliff. Like they've got some bars up to kind of help you, you know, keep from falling off the side. But like, it's legit. It's an epic hike. But it did end up being a long day. I think it ended up being over 12 miles of hiking for us. So that was a lot.
Yeah, it was definitely took it out of us. I remember the next day, like us being pretty tired after doing what was a pretty hard trail, but we actually tacked on to that day because we were so close a little hike to Yosemite Falls, and I think it's just like a mile loop trail. It's super easy. I think it's even like handicap accessible because it's all paved, and you get to go to where Yosemite Falls is. If you go, hopefully you're not in a drought like we were, because there's not a lot falling from the falls when we were there.
That's true.
And so if you really want to see all of the falls in their glory, like the spring is the time to go, as the like the snowpack is sort of melting off and the rivers and the falls will all be fuller. So if that's sort of what you're into seeing, you can go later on. Yosemite Falls is a nice little hike that's very approachable and a good one to do.
Yeah, very accessible, like you said, very hard to miss, you know. It's an easy one to do. You know what I was so surprised by was how Yosemite is such an international thing.
Right.
Like so many people from all over the world there. I mean, I feel like most Americans haven't seen it. And yet when you're there, you realize that people are coming from all over the world to see Yosemite.
Yeah.
And I can't believe it's taken me this long to get here. And we came across so many international travelers, a mother from Montreal, Canada, a motorcyclist from France who took a great photo of us.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
A hiker from Ireland who was living in LA for the summer. She was really great. She took some great photos too. Thank you. And then doing laundry at the RV park, I realized I was the only American there.
Wow.
And I was surrounded in the laundry room by Germans, Brits, and Italians.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I do remember thinking on the West Coast, like there are a lot more foreign travelers than we experienced other parts of the U.S.
That's interesting, huh?
The next day, we went and hiked the Cathedral Lakes Trail. It's only a 6-mile trail, so a lot less than what we did the day before and considerably easier. But it was another really cool hike. Like, I really enjoyed that hike. So there's two lakes in the Cathedral Lakes, the upper and lower, and you pass by Cathedral Peak, and for which they're named. And once you see it, like, it definitely stands out as like, oh yeah, that's like, that's really cool. It connects to like a larger system of trails in the park. So I remember us passing some people that were going on like a 4 or 5 day hike and had all their stuff to like do backcountry things. But there were very few children on this hike. I feel like a lot of the other hikes just had a ton of people, and this one didn't.
Yeah.
So it was nice for that too. You really kind of see a lot. You start in sort of like a forest and you cross this river. You actually come across the head of like a natural spring. I remember seeing that and thinking like, oh, this is really cool. This river that we've sort of crossed a couple of times coming up the mountain, this is like where it springs from. Oh, it starts like right here, and the trail goes right over the head of the spring, which was kind of cool. Then you pass through like a sandy area that was like just interesting and different to hike, and you sort of make it to like a higher elevation where you find the lakes, and they're just these beautiful, pristine lakes just out in the middle of the wilderness, just like everything that you could ever hope for in like finding a lake at the end of a trail, you know?
Yeah. I remember we listened to so many podcasts that day hiking on that trail because there was nobody there. So like I had this little speaker on a little rappel thing, and so I could just like attach it to the outside of my bag, and we like listened to some podcasts and stuff. And that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But my favorite part, hands down, was swimming in the lake when we got there.
Oh my gosh. Bound and determined. After seeing those people jump in at the falls, you were like, you were going to end up in water at some point.
Oh yeah. I was like, yep, I am definitely swimming. And it was so hot, but the water was so cold. Oh my gosh. But this lake was really fascinating because it had gold flakes in it. And I am not even kidding. It was really crazy. Okay. So I basically had to find a place too that was really secluded. I mean, it was all pretty secluded, but I had to kind of like step behind a rock and change into my swimsuit. But I was like, this is going to be so worth it. It's going to be great. And it was really cool that like you could look over across this whole lake and see, oh my gosh, we really are totally by ourselves. This is awesome.
Yeah.
The water was like beautiful. It was like all blue and green. And then whenever I got inside the water, I realized, one, holy crap, it's really cold. But two, there are literal gold flakes in the water. So I got to swim in gold, and I like to think that it like got stuck in my hair and everything. So great. But yeah, like you counted me down and everything. You were like, okay, just do it on the count of three. 3, 2, 1, just do it. And I like really did the whole thing. But it was great though. It was just a good memory because it felt like, I don't know, sometimes you just have this snapshot in your head of a moment and you're like, I'm never going to forget this.
Yeah.
And I remember literally looking down in the water and putting my hands down in the water and cupping the water and holding it and seeing all these flakes of gold in it. And like, just being like, we're going to forget this. This is so cool. And you were just sitting on the rock. There was this huge rock and you're just laying out on the rock in the sun, taking a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, let me be clear, guys. I only swam for 60 seconds or so because it was so cold. But it was just a really good memory.
Yeah. I loved that. I loved that trail a lot. And that's really the hike that we did that day.
Yeah.
I remember the next day we went into the park to go to Mariposa Groves and hike to see the redwoods.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun.
A lot of driving, though. Now that I'm just remembering, all of these days we stayed as close as you could to the park.
Mm-hmm.
Like we didn't stay in a town or anything. And we drove for hours every day.
Yeah.
Like a good solid 2 hours to get to our first hike, at least.
Yeah, it's a huge park, and you just have to drive and drive and drive and drive. And I remember we were like, well, we don't want to take Maggie because it is so hot.
Yeah.
That we can't, like, she can't go on a lot of the trails anyway because the national parks won't let it. And we can't leave her in the truck because it's so hot. So we're going to have to leave her behind. And which means we have like a limited amount of time. So even if we had wanted to like hike Half Dome or something like that,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't have had time to, because it just takes so long to get anywhere in these parks. But
yeah,
I remember driving in to Mariposa Groves and we saw a little black bear.
Yeah.
Like up. And I remember he was like right off the road. And a couple of people had stopped, and he was just kind of sitting there, like, eating some berries or something. Just
chomping on some berries.
But just, like, a little black bear. That was really cool to get to see another bear and see one in Yosemite. I think they're kind of rare to see in Yosemite.
Okay.
And so, like, that was really cool.
Yeah. And I was kind of getting over my fear of bears at that point. I was, like, a little bit. Yeah. Kind of getting over my fear of bears, like... Yosemite actually has only has black bears, and they've had no grizzly bears for about 100 years now. How crazy is that?
That's pretty crazy.
It's an interesting stat, and I think it kind of, I think I had read that somewhere along the way and had been like, oh, I feel like a little bit more comfortable here, because black bears are a little less aggressive, and so I guess I just feel safer with them. But I did hike with bear spray on my backpack for every trail here, so... There's that.
You had bear spray in like the Everglades.
Huh?
I think you carried bear spray with you even in
definitely.
Everglades.
But what I mean is I hiked with it in my backpack, not hooked on the outside.
Gotcha.
Handy. So I was like, it was a little less accessible. So I just think that is proof of my growth as
bravery.
A person. but yeah, for me, like the more I know, the better I feel, the more comfortable I am. So I want to know the worst of the worst of what could happen. I want to know all of the, like, I want to know everything. You give me all that knowledge and I feel empowered by it. And so I was learning more and more, and it was making me feel informed, and I felt a little bit safer. So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But also, we were on our way to Mariposa Grove when we saw that black bear. And Mariposa Grove is another really... accessible, family-friendly area of the park.
Yeah, it really is. It's got huge redwoods. To actually hike the Mariposa Grove Trail, you have to go to the visitor center, the Mariposa Grove Visitor Center, and take a shuttle. So there's a road that runs to the trailhead, but you can't drive on it. Only park vehicles can. So you have to, like, go take the shuttle, and then you get to hike it. It's a really easy hike. For like, there's sort of a little loop trail that you can do and see some really huge trees, and it's sort of like a boardwalk for part of it and paved for part of it, and it's really flat. So it's another one that if you have, you know, small kids or someone that can't move as well, it's a really good one. You can go do like sort of more of the trail, and we did that. It is not as shaded as you would think. Like, I think we thought it would be more like a forest, but there's big trees, and then you can see that fires have kind of like taken out a lot of smaller trees in the area, so it's sort of dusty. We did see some deer along the way, and that was really cool.
Like a mom and her two little babies.
Yeah. I would say though about Mariposa Grove, if you've seen big sequoias and you don't have much time in Yosemite, there's other stuff in Yosemite that you don't get to see anywhere else.
Yeah, good point.
But for us, like, we'd done some of those other hikes and seen some of the other stuff. And so the Mariposa Grove, like, going to that area, I feel like was worth it for us. Like, we got to see some cool stuff there.
It was kind of lower on the list because we'd already seen a ton of huge trees.
Right. Yeah. We'd come from the redwoods.
Yeah.
So. You know, it was sort of more of the same there. But if you've never seen anything like that and Yosemite's your chance, like, it's definitely a great way to do it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the things that we missed. There were a couple things that are a pretty big deal to people, mm-hmm. but that we didn't actually do. Let's tell people a little bit about that.
So it's Yosemite's famous for climbing, specifically Half Dome is one a lot of people do. It's 5,000 feet. It's like a 16-mile trail. If you do it, it takes 10 to 12 hours. You do have to have a permit to hike it. And there are cables for the last section of it. So I think the last like 500 feet is all cables. And they don't put the cables up until the snowpack has melted off. So I think the lottery to get in takes place in March, and then if you get the permit, I think you have to check back and see like when the cables will actually be in place. If you are going to hike it, they recommend taking gloves to work the cables and things like that. And So just do a lot of research. If you're going to do something that intense, like I'm sure you're going to do a bunch of research.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the iconic Yosemite things.
Yeah. You know I want to do it, right?
Yeah, I know you
do. I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds terrifying. And I've seen videos out on YouTube of people hiking it, which I don't even know how you would get video. But you see people like sliding down. The really interesting thing is how storms will come through and it'll be so, the weather can be so dynamic that it can suddenly get very, very cold and turn icy. So if it starts raining, you do not want to be there when it starts raining.
Right.
So I just think that's really crazy. Okay, the other thing that we did not do was Yosemite Firefall. And there was a reason. Is the not the right time of year for that.
Right.
But I do want to make sure that everybody gets to hear a little bit about it because it's really interesting. It happens at Horsetail Fall, which is on the eastern edge of El Capitan Mountain. And water comes down from Horsetail Fall and it appears like, it looks like molten orange lava coming down. And it happens right as the sun is setting and the sun hits that waterfall and creates this crazy orange glow. And it looks like fire falling off of the mountain. And the first widely circulated photo of this, this natural firefall was taken place in 1978. So it's been going on for a while now. And people like come at a very specific time of the year and like take these photos and you've got just a couple minutes to catch the light just right. And I think that sounds so cool. But a fun fact about it is that the original version of this firefall, so to speak, was actually a literal fire and a lot less natural. what we see today is a natural firefall. But in 1872, there were owners of the Mountain House Hotel, and they created a spectacle by pushing an actual bonfire. If you can imagine a huge bonfire in a national park, pushing it off the edge of a cliff at Glacier Point, and all of these hot embers came down looking like this glowing waterfall coming down off of this cliff. And everybody thought that was so great. And so it kind of started and stopped over the years. And by the mid-1900s, thousands of people were actually coming to Yosemite to watch actual fire fall off of a cliff. So that's kind of crazy, but obviously this was a little too dangerous of something to practice. So it really put the park at risk, and they eventually banned it. But it's kind of fun because it's really the notion that inspires the name that they use now, Yosemite Firefall. It's kind of sparked a little bit from that actual literal fire that would fall off of the mountain sometimes. So
yeah.
I just think that's kind of crazy. But the best time to see the natural firefall is in the latter half of February, and reservations are required. It does happen at sunset, so you do want to be prepared to hike down in the dark, which doesn't sound as much fun. It sounds really cold and really dark. But there's a Yosemite Firefall guide on Yosemite.com that will kind of tell you all you need to know about that.
Yeah, but I think that would be really cool to see. It's funny because I feel like a lot of the things that you want to do in Yosemite all take place at different times during the year. Like if you want to see the firefall, you need to go in February. And if you want to see the waterfalls and the rivers at their best point, you need to go in like May.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to hike Half Dome, you need to go in July. Like there's just, it's so spread out. But it's, I mean, it's one of the things that makes it just a really cool park.
Yeah, for sure. I like overall, I just think about like Yosemite and how much rock is there.
Yeah.
Just like, oh my gosh, it's just solid rock. And surprisingly, there's still a lot of vegetation, mm-hmm. but it's a lot of rock everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a cool park. I remember growing up, my dad would always say that Yosemite was his favorite park.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked Yellowstone a lot. He lived in the Dakotas when he was growing up. And so he'd seen a lot, but he would always talk about Yosemite being his favorite. And, after having gone, I'm like, it's pretty epic.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. And it's so, because it's in California, it's so far for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so far from anywhere in California. Like California is a huge state and it's a long ways from anywhere in California. But if you have a chance to go to Yosemite, go to Yosemite. It's really cool.
Yeah. I remember asking you, what trail do you think your dad probably would have liked the most. You know, he hiked trails in Yosemite. Like, what do you think he liked? And you were like, oh, Dad probably didn't hike trails. He went rogue.
Yeah,
he did backcountry.
Yeah, I don't think my dad was probably on a trail. He was probably all through, like, all the woods and streams and rivers and all of it, but probably crossed a few trails at some point, and that's it.
That's so crazy. I loved hearing that, though. I thought that was fun. So we made our way out of Yosemite after that. We had 3 solid days there. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, we did not have to. We got to continue on that highway, but we did not have to retrace our steps with the Airstream. And so we took the Tioga Road out and got to see the rest of Yosemite by the truck, which was great, actually. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Because we got to see some of when you get to the other side of the park, you kind of see Half Dome and things like that from a different perspective. So it felt like more like, oh, this is what people see, you know. So that was great. But the check engine light came on. Oh my gosh. And we were just like, what the crap? We just got our oil changed. We've been like, we put in a new alternator. What on earth could be wrong with this truck? So there was that. But we had all kinds of good things to look forward to. Bryce Canyon is coming up next episode. We did go to Bryce Canyon during monsoon season. So
yeah.
Well played, Houghtons. Well played. Drama. But it was really beautiful nonetheless. So yeah, we'll tell you about that in the next episode.
Yeah, of all the Utah parks, like, I think Bryce Canyon is underrated. Like, mm-hmm. The others are pretty awesome and everyone talks about them, but Bryce Canyon is way up there on my list.
Yeah.
So excited to share about that with everybody. And between now and then, you can go out to YouTube and watch our video on Yosemite. You get to see a lot of the views, a lot of the falls and the hikes that we went on. It's all out there. You'll also get a little peek at the pirate people that we camped next to. So we snuck a little video and it's out there. So if you are wondering, like, what did exactly you said there was a pirate flag? He has to be lying. No, go out on YouTube and see the massive pirate flag that we camped next to the whole time. So you can find us there. You can also find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We'll be posting updates on our normal activities as well as some throwback stuff to our time in Yosemite. So hopefully you'll go out there and connect with us.
That's right. And you can also reach us by email at travelfomopodcast@gmail.com. That is travelfomopodcast@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a great travel story from Yosemite or another national park.
Know what that reality show is.
Or maybe you know what that reality show is. We want to know. And whatever you know, we're going to consider that your blessing to share it here on the podcast with other people. Maybe you can connect some dots for us. But that's it, guys. That's all we got. Looking forward to sharing more of our national park adventures with you. Life is short.
Wander well.